welcome back again to the Digital Orthopedics podcast series and our audio from the 9th annual DocSF experience. My name is Dr. Stefano Bini, and I am the host of this podcast and the founder and chair of the DocSF conferences. In this last session on the future of generative AI in orthopedics, Professor Tom Barber from UCSF discusses the significance of AI implementation in orthopedic care. With over two decades of experience witnessing both the triumphs and pitfalls of technology integration in healthcare, Dr. Barber emphasizes the importance of effective data ownership and accessibility for AI efficacy. Kind of cool. Highlighting practical AI applications from automatic routing of patient communications to smart surgical scheduling, his talk envisions a future where AI can significantly reduce administrative burdens, optimize research cycles, and even revive smaller, cost-efficient medical practices. The session stresses that while AI may not always yield direct savings, its potential to enhance workflow efficacy and reduce burnout is actually immense. Hope you like the talk.
Thanks so much. This is such a great conference. You probably are wondering what a guy with gray hair is doing standing up here. And I think one of the things that I bring is that I've implemented a lot of technologies. I've seen how bad the implementations are. And so I have a little bit of a perspective on that. Just a quick example of that. I saw the implementation of PACS 20 years ago. Still today in UCSF, we have to have the residents produce PowerPoints because we don't have a good still when we do AI, we ought to know that the implementation is important. I'm going to give you a little future talk about how we're going to implement it, how it's going to change our lives as orthopedic surgeons, as opposed to the tech itself. How does it actually change what we do? Some interesting things as we start going through it. Disclosures, our first disclosure slide, why isn't that pulled by AI automatically? This comes from the Medicare Open Payments database, and it should automatically populate. Now, this is a little embarrassing that I've only had $300 in 2 years. Maybe I should have done more than that. But anyway, it should pull automatically. What about AI in orthopedic context? We've heard a little bit about this. I think the most important thing for all of the implementation strategies is the data ownership. And that's something we have to solve. How do we actually allow AI access to all of the data, whether it's in TraumaCAD, whether it's in our notes in Epic, or whether it's actually in the demographics and things that we have? We have to get access to all of those things from AI. AI's got to be able to access them. If we don't have that, it's not going to work well. I'll talk a little bit about RAG and fine-tuning, although Stefano already covered that. A RAG is just sort of retrieval. You know, I'll skip over that because Stefano already talked about that. I'm going to talk about some sunrise functionality. There are a lot of sort of exciting things for us. And I call these sunrise because it makes your day a little bit brighter, a little bit easier, but it's probably hard to justify the development from an economic standpoint because it really doesn't do a whole lot that saves money. You can promise things. It makes your life better. It makes the burnout less, but can you justify it? These are probably applications that for the most part I'd see as add-ons to other applications, hopefully, that will make your life better, as opposed to pure major transformations. Things like the routing of messages. Why should I get a message in Epic saying, hey, I'd like to change my appointment from tomorrow to Thursday next week? You know, that's crazy. Why would I get that? It should be routed automatically to your appointment person so they can change it, so you don't get that in your inbox. Answering messages. A lot of times they say, hey, can you give me some basic exercise to strengthen my quads? Why do I have to then compose a message and say, this is how you should do that? That's a lot of time, energy, and effort. It should be automatically done by AI. Probably 40% of the messages could be done automatically in that way. But again, if you're talking about how does that get paid for, how does that development get paid for, it's a little hard because there's no direct savings to get the savings for a large group. Triaging of cases by risk. So if you want to say that certain cases ought to go to, say, Mount Zion Hospital or Parnassus because they're riskier, perhaps this can automatically triage your case requests and send them right to the right hospital so you don't have to worry about having booked a patient with major cardiac problems in your outpatient surgery center. So it's triaged automatically and it takes you to the right place. automatically sending specified surveys to patients? Why are you sending a hip survey to somebody that had a total knee or that needs a total knee? Are you going to send a total knee survey to somebody that has an ankle problem? You know, those kinds of things you ought to be able to do by AI and get the appropriate survey filled out. That's hard today. You know, I know it's very possible, but it's actually a manual process very often. Sometimes you can code it in a hard way, but then it becomes too hard-coded. And somebody that had a total knee replacement and subsequently had an amputation still gets the survey. And that's hard. So you got to have AI in there to make it easier. The bundling of medical record data, this is sort of an exciting concept, is it reduces the amount of staff that you have because you're doing pre-authorization for a total knee replacement or whatever. You've got to gather all this information, X-rays, those kinds of things. They all need to be put in one place and then sent off to the insurance company. We have oodles of people working on that, gathering all this information to send it off. That should be done automatically by AI. There is absolutely no reason why we should have a lot of people doing that. So again, these, and then one, you know, once you've done your templating and your templating software, whatever it is, TraumaCAD or whatever, it should send it immediately to the rep. Why do we have to then communicate with the rep what we're going to use and do when you've already templated it, you know what it is? Why do I then have to make that extra effort? It doesn't need to be there. Again, these are things that make your life easier. They're probably not going to make everything perfect. To better prepare you, you know, you're going into work and it says, hey, you're seeing 25 patients today. 10 of them are 1 month post-ops. One of them's been complaining a lot about pain. 6 are new patients. By the way, one of them has osteogenesis imperfecta. Would you like an update on OI and total hip replacement? You know, to prepare you for the day, it's better. And it tells you about your, this is a big one, where you're going to have modifiable risk factors that you have to follow. The patient has a hemoglobin A1C that's high. They're an active smoker. You've got to remind them. This doesn't just look at their factors. It actually makes change. So it sends a patient a message saying, hey, by the way, you were supposed to stop Jardiance today. Did you stop that? Because they were told I should actually follow up on that and optimize preoperative preparation. Postoperatively, it ought to check to see if you did the orders correctly. This is another one in research. It's kind of interesting. I discovered this as I was doing this, is I said, hey, let's do a comparison. I want to write for research. I would like to compare the results of dual mobility cups in primary hip arthroplasty to traditional cups when the patient has had previous spinal surgery. Step number one, let's get research. Well, actually, I was interested. I can get not only get all the articles out of ChatGPT-4, but have them ranked by impact factor of the journal, as well as by citations of each one, and give me a rank order list of all of the publications, which is quite interesting. And then it can go into Epic and say, hey, you had 175 primary total hips that had dual mobility. You had a comparison group of 660 primary hips. And based on the literature, you know the differences in the dislocation rate. You can actually find a statistically significant difference with your patient population that you have done in the last year. This should all be done within 5 minutes. Why do you spend all of your time investigating all these things when you don't need to? And then it could actually send an IRB approval together. It can put it together and send it. There's no reason you can't. You should be able to reduce your research cycle quickly to within a week of the time you have the question. You should have all the information you need. That's going to happen. Formation of the practice, this is where you're really using all of these things together, surgical scheduling, patient scheduling. I think the thing that's interesting here is that when you have enough AI bots, then what's going to end up happening is you're going to have a low-cost practice. What's that going to enable? Interestingly, it's actually going to enable smaller practices again. Okay, so when you think about it, our large practices are primarily because we need a lot of staff to do all the work that we need done. And we also get a 20% higher boost in profits because we have more revenue because we have better contracts. But what if your cost could go down by 30% because you don't have any staff? And so what if your revenue goes down? Maybe it will enable private practice again. So just one of those things. So I won't go through all that, but you can setting a personalized clinical care plan is a really exciting thing where it makes a plan for any patient that comes in. It not only makes the plan, it actually executes it. So it makes the appointments in the future. It sends them messages. It sends them surveys all automatically. You say, hey, this patient is going to have a total hip number 1 done in 1 month and total hip number 2 done in 3 months. It schedules everything for you. It does everything for you, and you don't have to think about it. I think those are the exciting things. So in summary, it'll augment physician effort, make work more sustainable. It will disrupt once the technology matures. Overview where I see things.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Digital Orthopedics Podcast, and hope you'll make a note to join us for the next Digital Orthopedics Conference San Francisco in October. Take care. Bye.